RPG lessons learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned. Find us online at rpgllpodcast.com. Email us at rpgllpodcast@gmail.com. And find us on Blue Sky at rpgll.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the RPG Lessons Learned podcast. I am Tanner, your perennial co-host, and I'm here with your main co-host, or I guess you're just the main host right now. What's up, Dusty? How's it going?
Tanner, I am rolling. How about yourself?
I am good. Usually you say you can't complain, but right before we hopped on, you complained a lot about life stuff, which is fine.
I did. Yeah. First world problems.
Yep. You know what? They come for all of us. But you know what? We've got something exciting to talk about, a very spontaneous episode. So this might not be as structured as you're used to, dear listener. But I talked to Dusty about how I am going to be starting a new RPG campaign with some of my local friends, and we're going to be playing the Lancer RPG, the mecha RPG that got kickstarted several years ago and has been pretty popular since then. And it shares a lot of DNA with Dusty's game of choice, which is Dungeons and Dragons 4th edition, as the tattoo on his neck will show his allegiance to that product. And so I figured it'd be good to pick his brain about it and get his opinions about stuff.
I didn't realize you could see that neck tattoo.
If you had to get a neck tattoo about an RPG, would you get like the 4E logo?
I don't think I would at this point. I loved 4E when I started playing it. I've fallen out of love with it. It's like your first girlfriend.
Sure.
Your first significant other, your first love. It's like your first love. It's healthy that you loved with your entire body and soul. It's healthy when you scarred that over and never loved that deeply again and learn how to love more reasonably and not put so much on another person, not put so much on a game. Those things are all healthy, and for those reasons I don't think I'd go back to it, and I'm relieved I didn't tattoo its name on my body.
Yeah, that's probably good. And yeah, you know, like you said, learning to love stuff is important, but also, you know, those first deep RPG loves can also happen during a time of growth and understanding of what your tastes even are in RPGs. Like for me, that game was 3.5 D&D because I started playing a little bit before you did. I didn't even really consider that there were other RPGs other than that for the longest time. So, you know, once I broke up with 3.5 D&D, then you know, you see the whole world and there are many fish in the sea. But yeah, up until then, I mean, I still think 4E is a solid game, and I think a lot of RPGs, newer ones, are proving that it's a great conceptual base to kind of go off and make your own kind of more focused thing. What do you think?
I totally agree. So you shared with me that your new campaign is going to be in
Lancer.
And I said to Tanner, you realize that Lancer's basically 4E, right?
Yeah. And
he was fully aware of that and said, maybe you can drop some wisdom on me. And I was like, dude, should we record this? Is this a good episode? So we think it might be. I am going to give Tanner advice off the cuff. I did not study for this. This came up 45 seconds ago. I've not reviewed my 4E material. I've not, you know, refreshed my brain. I'm going off my now 10-year-old memories of running games in 4E to give this advice completely unrehearsed.
Well, maybe we should say in what ways it is similar to 4E.
Fair.
And that is basically the idea that the game has two very distinct phases, Lancer, I'm saying, where you are out of your, it's a mecha RPG, so you're going to be in a giant robot and doing giant robot battles. And it has two very distinct phases, one being you're outside of the mech and it's a very narrative style game. You literally roll a d20, and if you get a 10 or higher, you succeed at the thing. Like, it's that straightforward and simple. And then the other half is when you are in the mech, and they fully say that this is going to be most of your sessions most of the time, is that it's a very tactical, grid-based kind of skirmish game. With lots of customizability and powers and weapons and stuff like that. And then in that case, it is kind of like 4E D&D, where, you know, it was so grid focused and it was so focused on tactical battles, which I thought were quite good once the system kind of figured itself out, once there were a couple of balance changes. And then the rest of the game in 4E, what my big complaint was that the rest of the game kind of didn't feel like it made sense.
Yes, mine too. But the way, like you mentioned, powers. So Lancer, like D&D, like 4E, has green, red, and black abilities. In the 4E handbook, there were powers that were green, red, and black. And green was at will. You could do these on your turn as an action over and over and over and over again. Then there were red abilities that were encounter abilities. You could do those once per encounter, and sometimes there was a mechanic to recharge those abilities. And then there was a black ability that was a daily ability. And then as you leveled up, you got certain numbers of, you know, you level up and you get a couple of new encounter abilities. You level up, you get a new daily, and you're generally picking from a list. So by you're building your character, not only with your stats, but also by literally picking your powers, picking your at-wills, picking your encounters, and picking your dailies. In Lancer, I don't know what the green at-will, red encounter, and black daily powers are called.
Yeah, so Lancer has a big focus of it is equipment, and you're building your mech by slotting in equipment, and that equipment is usually weapons and gear that are once anytime you want, once per turn, once per encounter, and then they don't do once per day because the concept of like an adventuring day doesn't really make sense in a mecha action game. So I believe they have once per session type stuff, which I feel like is kind of where the industry shifted to eventually, at least maybe with the kinds of games I was exposed to, where it does kind of metagame and be like, yeah, once per time that you sit down with your friends to play this game, you can do this. And Lancer doesn't have, like I said, strict powers like that. There are things that kind of look like that, but mostly it is equipment. And honestly, it's a little bit more simple than 4E D&D is, but yeah, it does have a lot of the same bones and a lot of the same design ethos, I should say. And yeah. I want to give the caveat that if we get something wrong about this, I have not yet run a session of Lancer. I've read the rule book, so if I'm speaking incorrectly about stuff, that's probably why.
And I'm okay being wrong.
Yeah,
my God, I can't remember everything about running this 10 years ago. But are you ready for some 4E style advice?
I have a post-it note and a pen out right now.
Ooh. Okay. If I were running a game of Lancer, if someone asked me to do that, hey, Dusty, you ran 4E, you're familiar with the general rules, would love for you to run a campaign of Lancer. Couple things. One, forget the word adventure. Scenario. 4E was fantastic for running really interesting tactical scenarios where there are features on the map that's interesting. You have chosen a combination of enemies that's interesting because they work particularly well. Like the classic skeletal archer, where that joker is immune to like piercing damage. So if he's far away from you shooting arrows at you and he's tough to get to, he's going to hurt you a lot more than you hurt him before you get close to him. Like stuff like that, like setting up really interesting tactical scenarios for your players to overcome. Scenarios, not adventures.
So let's talk about what you mean by adventures then in contrast.
Yep. So the thought of what we've been saying about a checklist, a dungeon where you have something to run from, something to talk to, you know, factions that you can befriend, no, you don't have time for that. Like the entire session is a fight. It's a tactical scenario. There's almost nothing on that map that you're not going to kill. It's like playing Rainbow Six or Rogue Spear or, Ghost Recon, one of those Tom Clancy games. Yeah, there could be NPCs in the map that you're saving or escorting, like a video game escort mission or release the hostage mission. But there are also bad guys that are just bad guys. They are just enemies.
Yeah. And I will say the Lancer book has some really great encounter design advice. It basically talks about how it should very rarely be your guys in a scenario with the other guys and you're just trying to kill each other. It's like, here are six, like you have to stay in the zone for six turns. You have to get them out of the zone within six turns. You've got to escort this non-combatant across. You've got to kill their non-combatant before. So like they give all these great templates and it's like, we recommend having controller type enemies here, assault type enemies here. Like I'm really pleased to see that the game absolutely knows what it is in a way that 4E maybe didn't at launch. Like, they were still very much saying, it's just like the D&D, you know, go on adventures, go through dungeons, but then you get to playing it and you're like, well, this is really kind of a like a good skirmish game with some a through line that is your adventure, right? Which is not kind of the philosophy of older D&D.
Absolutely. Yeah, older D&D is like resource management, so you want to make friends and not fight.
Yeah.
But 4E D&D is all about, you know, fighting and killing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, like what you just said, you stay in this zone, move these, you know, escort these things. My favorite in 4E was absolutely overwhelming odds. And your goal is not to kill everyone. Your goal is to get from this point on the map to this point on the map.
Nice.
Yeah. Like you have to cross this gauntlet. What's the most intelligent way for you to cross this gauntlet, taking as little damage as you can, knowing that if you stop and if you turn and give battle, you are done.
Yeah, and you know what? That feels like a scene from a movie or something like that. Because, like, fundamentally, like, it is supposed to be kind of a cinematic type of experience in terms of, like, this should feel like a pitched battle that is a means to an end, right? Like, in Saving Private Ryan, the scene wasn't, let's go to Omaha Beach and one by one kill every German in this. It's like, no, they were at point A, they needed to get point B. The storytelling is, how did they get there? And it involved combat, you know? So I'm kind of thinking the same way of like, so when I'm thinking of an adventure, should I be thinking of the scenarios first and then thinking about how to string it together a story? Or should I start with a story and then, you know, say, oh, well, if they need to do X, Y, Z, this would be a good encounter for that. Like, which is kind of how I normally think.
You should start with the character goals. So whatever those characters want to achieve in the world, you're in giant mechs fighting essentially military engagements. So it's going to be largely political. Whatever their political goals are, like every battle should further their political goals. Mm-hmm. You know, again, to use the phrase give battle, why give battle if you're not furthering your political goals? Everything should be rooted in what are these players trying to achieve? What would motivate them to risk their potentially very expensive mech mm-hmm. in combat? And then once you do that, then what's an interesting scenario that we haven't run before this campaign? What's a set of circumstances I could put into play here? For me, I was most at home running 4E. And again, tactical scenarios are infinite. As long as it's a tactical scenario, you're good. My favorite was when I thought of the players like a team of medieval Navy SEALs, and they needed to get in somewhere quietly, take some things down, generally quietly, take as much down quietly as they could. And then if they had to get into a firefight, get into a loud fight. But generally you get into the loud fight on your way out.
Yeah.
You've gotten in quietly, you've achieved your goal, and you get the hell out. But yeah, start from their goals, and then, hey, what's a tactical scenario we haven't done?
Yeah. How do I keep this from feeling like a war game? How do I keep it a role-playing game?
Cool lines. So in 4E, it's so much more important to do those combat role-play things. For example, describe that hit for me. Oh, that kills him. Describe that. Oh, you got a critical. Describe that. Like, make people describe to you what the battle looks like. And my players never got tired of that. You rolled a 20. Tell us about that. Because you take down half his life in one hit. Like, he's bloodied, to use a 4E term. What does him getting bloodied look like? And we were very clear, by the way, in 4E. That term bloodied, I loved it. Because only once an enemy had lost half their hit points did they get bloodied. And my way of looking at that was, look, up until for the first half of hit points, they're getting battered. Maybe their armor's getting whatever. They're getting weaker. They're getting more tired. They're not holding their shield up as fast. Like, they're getting bashed around and they're getting battered. They're not losing eyeballs and fingers when they lose one or two hit points. But you get below half and they become bloodied. And I don't know if Lancer has an equivalent of bloodied. When they would bloody an opponent, oh, what's that look like? So in Lancer, if they get below half hit points, I'm going to start asking, ooh, their mech takes damage. What's that look like? What's sparking? Is the canopy cracked? Like, make them get visual with you.
Yeah, I think it's important to ask maybe like, how does their character feel about certain things too, just to like keep the idea that you aren't just a giant robot, you know, you are a character in a giant robot. And the idea that you can you know, have opinions and motivations beyond what you're doing. I was just looking at the PDF, and Lancer does have an action that you can do to scan something, and you ask the GM one question if you succeed, which is, what are their stats? What's a hidden piece of information, or what's a generic or public piece of information that you could look up about this thing in a second? So like, they have the ability at any time to say, Tanner, how much HP does this thing have? I'm using my action. And like, I really like that. I love the bloodied thing in 4E as well, as far as like narration goes, but I like that in this, it's even like filtered back into the action economy of the game to figure out who to focus on. And it's thematic too, you know, scanning with a mech.
Absolutely. The other piece of combat roleplay is, what are they saying? Like, they're on probably an open radio channel. I love reading the Mech Warrior novels. I particularly love the Michael Stackpole. So I would incorporate a lot of the Mech Warrior type jargon into my game if I were running Lancer, and really reward players. Don't tell them you're going to do it, but choose a behavior that you like and reward the hell out of it. So if somebody's really honorable, if they destroy someone else's mech and they refuse to, like, you know, step on the cockpit and kill the guy, like, they're being honorable, they're acting in a very knightly, courtly manner, find some way to like massively reward that. Like, the enemy, I don't know what the Lancer universe has, but in the Mech Warrior universe, I would say, hey, through Comstar, you get a message from the enemy, and he's attached, you know, a million C-bills to it. And he's like, you are so honorable. This is the noble ransom that you deserve for my life, whatever. Like, wow. Like, have really cool noble enemies. Don't warn them you're going to do it, but reward the behavior you want to see on the battlefield.
Cool. I like that a lot. Yeah, Lancer is kind of interesting because the universe by default, I mean, you can kind of pluck everything out and play in whatever universe you wanted to, but the default setting is specifically a post-scarcity universe. The economy does not work on the scarcity. There is enough 3D printing, and the galaxy is an enormous place full of resources that, like, getting stuff is not the goal. So I really like that, because then it shifts it purely to be a game about political things generally. Like, you're trying to get stuff done. You're trying to do things to people, not necessarily. I mean, there are like pirates and stuff like that, because, you know, it's always nice to get something that you don't have, but, you know, the onus is on, like, yeah, you can, if your mech gets destroyed during downtime, you can 3D print a new mech. What are you going to do now? Like, it really drives the themes forward in an interesting way, I think.
Cool. Make it some kind of RP reward then.
Yeah.
It's in a message of some kind of huge RP concession. In my opinion, the absolute best of 4E were these things called Lair Assault. So it was part of D&D organized play. And Lair Assault was meant to be like, in general, in 4E, you played like three encounters a day, I think, three combat encounters. Because every adventure was meant to be like three combat encounters, a roleplay encounter, and then some other kind of encounter, like a skill challenge. But three combat encounters, right? And that's what your resources were geared toward. A Lair Assault was like an unrelenting, really long encounter that would use all three encounters worth of resources in one like super long encounter. And the Lair Assaults were interesting. My favorite is Kill the Wizard. Kill the Wizard's really good. Got Spider Killer was good too. I would say find the Lair Assaults through whatever legal means you can, Tanner. Mm-hmm. Know they're from organized play. Know they were meant to be, you know, fairly generic, like in any number of player, you know, player group compositions and player builds could achieve the goals. But they were written to be, number one, challenging. You were meant to lose. This is organized play. Not every group is meant to win Lair Assault. It's meant to be really difficult, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, they were really interesting, and like all the work's done for you as far as the encounter building and really unique combinations of enemies. Just find like equivalent Lancer baddies.
Yeah. And just kind of reskin the whole deal. I like that. I never even thought about going and looking up 4E encounters and like setups, because I remember, I mean, I ran 4E as well, and like I ran an adventure that there was a really great encounter where the players were trying to cross like a rickety rope bridge, and there were like controllers and archers on the other side and tanks up front, and they could do stuff with the bridge to kind of interact. And like, I should look at some of those old encounter setups, because some of those just provide great, you know, inspiration for encounter design. It's so cool that the game is about encounter design fundamentally for the GM, you know. That's a muscle that I don't get to flex lately, I guess.
It did it so well.
Yeah.
If you were playing, like, again, medieval Navy SEALs doing tactical fun encounters, 4E was a fantastic game.
Awesome. Well, let me, I guess we should wrap up. I'm going to read off my notes here, what Dusty said about lessons to learn from 4E D&D. Forget your adventure. The scenario is king. Battles should be rooted in player goals. Find novel scenarios and setups that we haven't done yet in a campaign in terms of encounter design. Don't forget the importance of combat RP. Ask players to describe stuff. What are the PCs saying during combat? Reward the behavior you want to see. And look into layer assaults and other published adventures and encounters and get some inspiration from there. Anything you want to add to that, Dusty?
How can you top perfection? I have nothing to add to that.
Well, I'm excited to check in with you maybe in a couple weeks after we've done a session or two, and I'll let you know. I am planning to run a pre-made campaign or a pre-made adventure. Like, it's like a two-part adventure to like start you and learn you the game that I found on Itch, and I'm excited to run that, and then I'll report back once I get to writing my own stuff.
Awesome. I'm curious to hear what advice works. I'm actually more curious to hear what advice didn't work. Thank you for listening.
People call them reviews, postmortems, retrospectives. We call them lessons learned, and we're sharing ours with you.